listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. Second hour is on. And we are going to talk quite a bit about the wars America is involved in, Ukraine and Israel. We'll get to that in just a second, but I haven't played any videos yet, except for, of course, the ones you see in the first 5 minutes, that statement from Ron Paul, as always, upholding his principled stance of non-intervention, which, if we'd only listened to 40 years ago, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. It's never too late to start, folks. But I have a lot of videos in the political realm that are very, very illuminating. So let's stick with American politics for a little while. Still close out the speech and NPR News being outraged that Trump would dare to talk about how dishonest the mainstream media is. From Gateway Pundit, CBS must get the transcript out now. Trump reacts to 60 Minutes statement claiming innocence for editing Kamala's nonsensical answer with previous soundbite. Says litigation has already started. President Trump slammed CBS's news organization on Monday after they claimed innocence in a Sunday statement for cutting Kamala Harris's answer to a 60 Minutes interview question and replacing it with a completely different soundbite from a different part of the interview. 2 weeks after they were caught editing Harris's responses to mislead the public into thinking she's not intellectually challenged, CBS released a contemptuous statement claiming they did nothing wrong and attacking Trump for not participating in their unfair interviews. Recall Trump's previous interview with 60 Minutes when leftist crank Leslie Stahl lectured President Trump and told her audience that Barack Obama never spied on his campaign. Of course, they were knowingly wrong. I mean, that's the thing. They're not just wrong. That can be understandable. They are deliberately obfuscating reality. They're deliberately lying. But I guess that's fine. I mean, InfoWars is having to be shut down. You know, we've been sued and dragged over the coals, and it's cost us God only knows how many millions of dollars to defend ourselves against lawfare that the leftists cheer on, celebrate, and laugh at. And maybe it's time for them to see what it feels like. I think it's time for them to see if they could stand up against the withering fire. I don't think so. I don't think they would. Let's just say this. Kamala Harris, not great off the cuff. Not great on the cuff. Not great regardless of position relative to cuffs. She can't perform when it's scripted. She can't perform whatsoever when unscripted. But most illuminating of all is the times where she is surprised by something and has to react to it just immediately without even having the time to, you know, condescendingly sigh before rattling off something like, Joe Biden has the experience to do what he's done. Wow, incredible. At her rally, somebody, unexpectedly a heckler, yelled, Jesus is Lord. And without missing a beat, without having time to think about it, she reflexively responded, you're at the wrong rally. You're at the wrong rally? The guy who said Jesus is Lord. So what does that mean? And remember, she refused to go to the Al Smith dinner, supposedly. The rumor is that, you know, after Trump totally killed it at the Al Smith dinner, this big Catholic charity dinner, and Kamala Harris put in this just utterly cringeworthy, just embarrassing skit, the rumor was that she was screaming at her staff and blaming one campaign director in particular who had convinced her not to go to the Al Smith dinner. Why? Because she didn't want to be seen as, quote, cozying up to the Catholics. Yeah, God forbid, right? Because then she might drive away the trans vote. You know, the trans population, the 0.02% of the population that is mentally ill with body dysmorphia, dysphoria, whatever they're calling it these days. You don't want to drive them away, so you better just hate Catholics Not a lot of them, right? Not a big Catholic contingency in America, is there? And this is how stupid these people, this is how hateful these people are. So she refuses to go to the Al Smith dinner because she hates Catholics, because their campaign does not want the support of Catholics. They don't even want to be seen as, you know, potentially cozying up to Catholics, which is even more intense, right? It's not just that they don't want to serve Catholic interests. It's like they don't even want to be associated with Catholics. Now, that could be a response to the terrorism of the left, that, you know, left-wing transgender, you know, school shooter types do genuinely despise Catholics and Christians and will make a big fuss and cause a lot of problems if you're shown to care about God or you know, the infinite or the purpose of life. They don't want you thinking about that sort of stuff. So, you know, maybe it is just like they're like, hey, look, if we even remotely move toward, what does it say? Harris makes pitch to black churches after telling protesters praising Jesus, you're at the wrong rally. But again, she didn't have time to think about it. She didn't take a moment to think, oh, gee, there's a lot of Christians in this country, and some of them are probably my supporters. No, they want you to know, if you think Jesus is Lord, you don't belong at a Kamala Harris rally. If you're a Catholic, she doesn't want anything to do with you. She's not going to the Al Smith dinner. She don't want to cozy up to you. She don't want you, and if you're at the rally, you think Jesus is Lord, that's the wrong rally for you, okay? They're there to talk about abortion and promiscuity and hating white people. It's not about universal love or the brothership of man, no. Take that Christianity crap and get out of here, okay? That was her immediate reflexive, you know, non-considered response when she heard somebody at her rally shout, Jesus is king. J.D. Vance also found himself speaking extemporaneously when somebody in the audience shouted, Jesus is king. Let's see what he responded. Clip number 5.
Anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. That's right, Jesus is king. And I don't think that we've seen... we've seen anything like this in modern American politics.
Yeah, of course we haven't. Because what he's talking about there is the anti-Christian rhetoric. And it's, you know, people used to mock. I used to think it was funny, right? Back when I was in high school and like watched The Daily Show, and it's like the war on, yeah, sure, war on Christmas. Yeah, right. I'm sure Starbucks is waging war on Santa Claus, right? It kind of sounds ridiculous. What you need to realize, it wasn't a war on Christmas. It was the Battle of Christmas, representing one on innumerable fronts on the war against Christianity. And that's what it is, and they're basically open with it now. I mean, these are just two examples from the last month, but they are innumerable. I mean, they want Christian morality and Christian dogma labeled hate speech. Very literally. Okay? They're setting up a system in which you could be arrested and charged for quoting the Bible. Remember the anti-Semitism bill? Because if you say that the Jews killed Jesus, and that's what it says in the Bible, then you're an anti-Semite, and there are laws to prevent you from speaking. So, they actually hate Christians. They don't want Christian support. They don't believe in Christian ideals. They don't think Jesus is king. They don't think Jesus is God. They're anti-Christian. They're non-Christian. Just want to make that clear. Christianity doesn't, it's obvious from the beginning because Christianity just opposes everything that they're all about. Christianity is humble. Christianity is self-effacing. It's self-sacrificial. It's also something you can't force, right? And that's where liberty and Christianity are really deeply intertwined, is this sort of like metaphysical underpinning that, like, I cannot force you to be Christian. No matter what I do, no matter how hard, I can't force you to be Christian. Because in the Christian beliefs, and according to Jesus himself in very certain terms, There's no ambiguity here. You have to actually believe it. You have to actually be honest about it. So I can put a gun to your head and say, I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, and I can force you to say that. It doesn't mean anything in Christian dogma. It doesn't mean anything in the philosophy of Christianity unless you actually believe it, unless you sincerely embody it, unless you, you know, you can't. People have this idea that you just like, if you're, especially Catholics kind of have this problem where it's like, that's why all mobsters are Catholic. They'll just like kill somebody and then go confess. And they're like, oh, but I confess, so my sins are washed away. It's like that. It's not really how it works. You have to actually sincerely repent. That's like Jesus said that. It's very clear. It's very clear. It doesn't matter what you say or what you pretend to do. I mean, this is the whole thing. And this was conflict that Jesus had with the Jews of his time, where like they would perform these rituals and just think, okay, because I performed the ritual, because I did the right thing, because I slaughtered the lamb, I'm now forgiven. But they had no repentance. They didn't actually feel bad about the sins they committed because they did the thing. And Jesus came and was like, it doesn't matter if you do the thing. It's better to actually sincerely repent and not do the thing than it is to do the thing and not sincerely. So liberty is the same way. You can't force liberty on somebody. You can't, you can't force somebody into Christianity. Like, these things are really deeply intertwined. And the belief that, like, people have to come to this on their own, that it's moral. You know, the difference between charity and taxes, right? You're not actually doing anything noble or virtuous if you're being robbed and your money is being given to the poor, right? You haven't done a virtuous act. There is no virtue in that. And that's, you know, the classic example. They think socialism is virtuous, but it's like, okay, if you have money, that guy doesn't. I have a gun. I put the gun to your head. Take your money. Give it to that guy. Who has done the virtuous thing? You didn't do anything virtuous because you didn't give your money away.